First of all, commence by thanking Dr. Allison, Dr. Dobson for their kind words of welcome, and it certainly is a privilege to be here to share with you in tonight's service. I certainly have been blessed in my own soul throughout today. We had a wonderful lunch, a good time of fellowship, and a definite sense of the Lord's presence. And there is no people like the people of God. And though maybe some miles from home, praise God, we are with those of like precious faith. And it certainly is a joy to be here and to share with you in your services today. I would like to read a verse of scripture with you from the Gospel of John and the chapter 8. John chapter 8 and the words of verse 36. We read, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. With God's word open, let's bow together in the word of prayer. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank Thee for a definite sense of Thy presence here this evening. We bless Thee that we stand complete in Christ. Lord, we rejoice in Thy salvation. We praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Lord, we thank Thee for that precious blood that has brought us nigh to Thee. We know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We bless Thee that we have been to the cross. Lord, our sins are washed away, and tonight we stand complete in Thy Son. Lord, we ask that Thou wilt help us to relate a word of testimony. May none be seen save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, we long for a fresh glimpse of Thy Son, the One who alone is worthy. And Lord, I publicly and personally thank Thee afresh for saving my soul. Lord, I pray that what Thou hast done for me, Thou wilt do for others here in this service. Lord, that Thou wilt be pleased to glorify Thy Son through the salvation of precious souls. To Thee, our God, we give all the praise, the honour and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, I am involved in working in a full-time capacity under our church with young people who are addicted to drugs. In fact, all of the young people that I currently minister to are addicted to heroin. Last year, I had opportunity to bring one of our ministers, Reverend David Park from Ballymoney, out with us for the afternoon to go and visit some of the addicts that we work with. We went to a hospital, to a few other places where we spoke to young people, and I was able to show the Reverend Park something of the work that I do. On the way back from Ballymena to take him back to Ballymoney, we stopped off at a home, and I went inside and called with one of the young people that I work with on a regular basis. It was quite a heartbreaking and tragic sight. Young man at the age of 16 turned to not only to drugs but to heroin. He became addicted within a short space of time, and I went to see him, as I said, that night, and it was a terrible sight. He was under the influence of the drug, and he was so far gone that he was down on his hands and knees on the floor, and he could hardly even move. I looked to his mum, and She was just heartbroken. Tears were streaming down her face, of course. She had heard in so many occasions and times promises from her son, promises to change, to become a better man, a better son, a different person. But to no avail. I said to her, I'm going to take your son to church with us. We're going to a gospel meeting. And she said, but look at him. How can you take him? And I said, you know, we love your son. We love these young people. What's more, he is welcome in our church. And I said, you know me better than that. If we have to, we'll carry him. We'll get him to church. We put him, took him from the house, got him into the car. We made our way to Ballymoney that night. En route, we stopped off at another house. I can't remember the particular reason why we stopped, but we stopped, and I looked in my rear view mirror and I seen this young man slumped over in the back of the car, and he really was well gone under the influence of drugs. The minister turned round to me and he said, that was your life at one time. And it brought it all home to me. It made me recognize afresh the pit from whence I was digged. The grace of God in my life and where the Lord had brought me from brought it right home to me. Each time I stand behind the sacred desk, I'm reminded of the words of John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I stand tonight afresh, amazed at the grace of God. Amazed that the Lord has saved me. Not only delivered me from drugs, but delivered me from sin. The Apostle Paul summed up his testimony with the words, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And my friend tonight, that is my testimony, if I could say in a nutshell, that all that I am because of God's grace. All that I am because of what Christ has done. I was born and brought up in the town of Lisburn, which is about 7 miles from the city of Belfast. It's only like about 10 minutes drive from Belfast City. Brought up the younger of three brothers. My older brothers, there's quite an age difference between us. Between myself and my next brother, there is my youngest brother, there is 10 years between us. He's now 46. And then my other brother, there's 15 years between us. In fact, when I was just around about the age of 3-4, the younger of those brothers left home, and from a young age I was brought up in a home where my brothers were away working. They had got a good education, they got good employment. Something wonderful happened in our home when I was around about the age of 8. My mother had gone out to a gospel campaign. Back home we have sometimes weeks of meetings from the Lord's Day through to perhaps a Friday, maybe for 2-3 weeks in a row each night preaching the gospel. It's probably because there's such short journeys back home and it's such a small country. People don't have to travel far from work or employment. But my mum went to this gospel service night after night, and she came home one night and she told us, my dad and myself, of how she got converted and how she was saved. It was amazing because my mum, she didn't smoke, drink, swear. She didn't live an outward immoral life. But my mother realized she personally needed Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. For the Word of God teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there is no man that sinneth not. That all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. And my mother realized that she had no righteousness of her own. She needed God's salvation. My mother was converted, and I want to say there are no prayers like a mother's prayer. When I think of the heartache I caused my mum and what I put her through. I'm so ashamed. But throughout those years of going into sin and doing that which was wicked, my mum, she prayed for me, and I thank the Lord for that. My parents, like most parents, had great hopes and dreams for me, great aspirations. We all want our children to do well in life. Well, my parents were no different. Get a good education, then you'll be able to get a good job, you'll be financially secure. Those are things that are important. And my parents felt that, well, if I could follow in the footsteps of my two older brothers, then I would make it in life. But I had no time to work. Didn't want to study. My philosophy was like many young people today. My outlook in life was eat, drink, and be merry. Life is for the moment. It's for now. It's to be enjoyed, as it were. And so I thought that life was really in the world. The age of 11, I remember standing down in, it was our local park. I was with a friend who was much older, and he began to encourage me to start smoking. You know, I thought it was a disgusting habit. And it didn't appeal to me, but I suppose the pressure and wanting to fit in with friends, I finally gave in. First cigarette, first glass of beer, first time smoking dope, and further down the road. It didn't end there, you see, with the first one. Oh, how subtle the devil is. He makes sin so attractive and appealing to young people. Oftentimes the fisherman will go down to the river. He will disguise, he will cover the bait. Back home, fishermen sometimes fishing for instance, trout, will use something that's called a lure. It's not a representation of a fly, of another fish, of bait. It's simply a hook that has been dressed up. It's sparkly, there's a glitter off it, there's an appealing nature. And whenever that hook is pulled through the water, it lures the fish. The fish sees it and it jumps at it. And it grabs it. Not knowing that behind all of the tinsel and glitter, there is a deadly hook. That's like sin. Young person, don't take the first one. Don't believe the devil's lie. Life is not in this world. Tragically, I broke my parents' hearts. The Word of God says to honor thy father and thy mother. I must confess that I'm really ashamed of the pain that I caused my mum and dad. I do not delight in it. A young man once said to me, you know, he said after I testified one time, he says, I wish I had a testimony like you and I could tell people of how I took this and that. And I said, stop, son, stop. That's nothing to be proud of. Any fool in this world can do those things. And I was one of them. I said, you know the best testimony a young person can have? God's salvation keeping them from those things. That's the best testimony. That is. I heard a young girl testify about 6 months ago. I was so blessed in my own heart. She testified how she was saved as a child and the Lord had kept her and blessed her, and throughout those teenage years she walked with the Lord and the Lord preserved her and gave her the grace to say no. And I thought that was tremendous. God's saving, keeping power in the life of the soul. My sin just took me further and further down. You see, sin never exalts a man or woman or lifts him up. It always takes him down. I never dreamt the lengths to which I would go, the things that I would do. As many of you are aware, a few years ago, there was a biography written of my life, a testimony book, and my brother read it. And he said to me, he said, you were economical with the facts. He said, you left out an awful lot. And I said, that's right. I said, because even thinking about them causes me so much pain. and I in no way want to glory in them. My mum and dad were completely shattered. 15 years of age, I had gone to the depths and drugs, and my dad one night, he said to me, "Son," he said, "you're going to have to go." He said, "You're breaking your mum's heart. She can't take anymore. It was affecting her health." And I thought to myself, well, that's exactly what I want and need. My own freedom. There'll be no more restraint put upon me here in the home. My parents won't tell me what to do, what time to come in. I'm going to live my life now my way. Be my own boss. Do my own thing. And all the time I wanted to be free, I was a slave to sin. I also was what we would term expelled from school. In other words, I was put out of school at that time. They could tolerate my lifestyle no more, and they asked me to leave school. Well, I thought that was exactly what I wanted. Out of school, out of the home, I thought, man, this is great. I'm going to really live life up now. I'm going to go to the depths here. I can do what I want. Packed my little bag and the very few possessions that I had and headed off. It seemed to be that no matter what lengths I went through or where I went, I would always seem to get into more trouble. And you don't need me to tell you the sorts of things that are involved with drugs. My mum was just devastated. You know, it came to a point where I couldn't go home because of my appearance. I had tattoos in my body, and the head and all places, and just my whole appearance was just a mess. And I know that my mum, if I went home, it really upset her when she looked at me. She didn't raise me for that. Yet, you know, tragically and sadly, I wasn't thinking about her. I didn't honestly care about my mum and dad at that time. I didn't worry about other people. There was only one person I thought about, and that was me, myself, and my sin. Didn't matter who I hurt, what pain I caused. That didn't matter. As long as I had my life and I could enjoy myself and do the things that I wanted, that's what mattered. Went to Belfast to live for a while with a group of fellows. It was really a gang that we had, and we just seemed to get into more crime. And then I went for a period of time to live in London. It seemed to be I would go from one place to the other looking for life, believing the devil's lie that life is in the world. And that somehow, if I would try another drug, go to another fix, have another experience, I would have this life that I was looking for. How wrong I was. The Word of God tells us that the pleasures of sin, they are only for a season. How short-lived they are. As I said, I went to live in London for a while, and then I come back. Life hadn't just worked out the way I had planned it. Didn't seem to make much sense at that time. Met a young girl, and we decided to get married. We were quite young, both my wife and myself. Whenever I met Linda, now my wife, in the providence of God, I was introduced to her great aunt, a woman called Violet. I could say that Violet was quite possibly the most godly person I've ever known. An amazing Christian woman. One of the dear old saints of God. the woman commanded respect. At our wedding, and I was an ungodly wretch, you can imagine at our wedding, we had no alcohol. Amazing. And the reason that we had no alcohol was because we didn't want to offend Violet. She commanded our respect. I know that Violet prayed very, very faithfully for myself, my wife, and the whole family circle. One by one, she saw her prayers answered. The year after we were married, my wife gave birth to a little baby girl. She was premature when she was born. She was just a few pounds in weight. She was rushed to hospital. She spent about 2 weeks in the hospital. One night, after coming back from visiting Samantha in the hospital, our little baby, we come home and I started to think about life, and we were back in my parents' house that night. I went into my brother's bedroom, for he had gone out for the night, and I started to think about life, and the thoughts started to race around my mind. Your life is a disaster. Look at the pain and the hurt you bring to everyone around you. You're the cause of their problems. You're the reason they're unhappy. You break your parents' hearts daily. You've ruined the life of this young girl. Your child will die. There's no hope for you. Ever been there? The young people that I work with now who are addicted to drugs, oftentimes I speak to them when they're suicidal, and it's just like looking in a mirror. When I work with them and speak to them, and I see how depressed they are, and how they see that they believe that there's no hope and there's no future, I've been there to that point. To the extent that that night I took all of my brother's heart and Valium tablets, alcohol and a cocktail of drugs, and I said, that's it. That's it. I can take no more. I'm the reason for their unhappiness. And I determined to end my life. Men and women, I testify to a God who is sovereign. They told my parents and my wife in hospital I should not be alive with the overdose that I took. My mum, she was unaware, my parents were unaware that I had taken this overdose. My mum told me sometime later, she found me lying on the floor of the bedroom. They smelt the alcohol, but they hadn't realised that I'd taken all these drugs. They brought me downstairs, they carried me down, they led me out on the couch. And they thought they would let me sleep off the effects of the alcohol. 4 o'clock in the morning, my mother awoke from her sleep, and she turned to my dad and she said, I don't know, but there's something wrong. We must get an ambulance. They telephoned for the paramedics who came. They rushed me to hospital, where it was quickly determined that I had a serious drugs overdose. I was unconscious, I think it was for 4 to 5 days. You can picture the situation, can't you? Our little girl was in hospital, seriously ill. Now I was in hospital, critically ill, and my wife was so young, and we weren't saved. And my wife said, you know, into that darkness, there came a ray of hope, a ray of light. She came down the ward in the hospital one day and to visit me, and I was still unconscious, but she said, you know, at the side of my bed there was the minister who married us, and he was just kneeling down, he was just simply praying and crying. And she said, you know, he was saying something like, Lord, please spare the life of this young man. He's got a little baby. He's so young. Oh God, step in. I testify tonight that God hears and answers prayer. I testify tonight that God is sovereign and in control. The Lord, in His infinite mercy, touched me and raised me from that serious overdose. A few days after I got out of hospital, my little daughter also was discharged. She's now 16 years of age. She's a fine young Christian girl. She really loves the Lord. I'm so proud of her. Because I spent most of my time working with young people and their lives are destroyed by that age. They're getting into drugs and sin. And I tell them, you know, my daughter, she sings in the choir. She loves the Lord. And they're amazed. It's such a blessing. A few months later, after that, I became very seriously ill. I could sum it up by saying that the body that God created and designed and made, it just isn't made for drug abuse. Body isn't made for it. You put drugs like ecstasy, LSD, you abuse your body with heroin, cocaine, you'll find that your body won't take it because it's not made for it. Man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. God made man for Himself, not for drugs. My body, finally, it's just as if it said, that's enough, I can take no more. I went into the hospital, I had surgery, one operation, two surgeries. It ended up with over 50, probably in the region of over 50. Time after time, I was placed under anesthetic, went through major surgery. But I didn't think about life or death or eternity. I was still too taken with my sin and involved in my sin. In July of 1989, I was admitted to hospital again to have major surgery. I went through that operation. In less than 2 weeks, I was ready to be discharged from hospital. The surgeon came in and he said to me, he said, we've got you cured and healed and you can go home on Monday, a new man. That was on the Friday of the second week. That very night, my thought was upon the things of the world, the rock band that I was playing and all those things. But in a moment of time, things changed and praise God, changed forever. Someone once said to me, you know, you sought the Lord because of your sickness and because you were ill. You sought the Lord because of what drugs done to your body. I said to him, you know, I thank the Lord that He didn't just let me go on in the mad career I was taking. I'm so thankful that the Lord intervened in my life. That night I became very seriously ill in just a few moments. By Saturday morning my condition deteriorated very quickly. I was in very serious pain. Basically all the surgery they had performed had come undone. Everything was blocked and twisted inside. My stomach and my organs were in a complete mess. And the surgeon came to take me down to the emergency room and he said to me, he said, you're very ill. We have to take you to the emergency room now. He left to make preparation for the surgery. Whilst I was there lying in the bed, I began to think about life. As I looked forward towards that surgery, there was just blackness. As I looked back upon my life, it's as if I was encompassed and surrounded by blackness on every side. Oh, I was feeling the burden of my sin. Oh, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was wicked and vile and wretched. And the more I began to think about my life and think about eternity, the more I realized I was unsaved. I wasn't prepared to meet God. I wasn't ready to die. That surgeon came back to the hospital bed. He found me and I was really crying and broken. And he asked me what was wrong, and I said to him, I said, "Sir, you know, I've lived my life for this world and for the devil, but I'm the loser. I'm the fool. Because if I die, I'm not ready to meet God. If I die the way I am for hell." And rightly so. Well, you know, he told me the sweetest story that mortal ears could ever hear. He told me of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. He told me how the Lord Jesus came into this world, how he lived a sinless, a spotless, a perfect life, how he did no sin, how he kept the law and the commandments that you and I could never keep, how he went to the cross at Calvary and voluntarily died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. I said to him, "Well, you know, that's very well, but," I said, you don't know the depths that I've gone to. You don't know the life that I've lived." I even said to him, I said, "You know, you don't know where I was 2 weeks ago. The day before I came in for this major surgery, I was playing in what we would call a black metal rock band. It's satanic music. I don't even want to think about it." I said, "You don't know, but I was involved in all that day. The drugs and all the... You don't know." He said, "You know, Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you." Well, the more he told me and spoke to me of the Lord Jesus Christ and his love, the more I cried, the more broken I became. To think that God not only loved the world and sinners, but that Christ loved me, that just broke my heart. He said, "You know, if you'll call upon now and seek the Lord now, the Lord Jesus Christ will save you." That's exactly what I did. The 26th of August, 1989, you know, I couldn't even get out of the bed to get on my knees to cry to God. I just had to lay there. I lay there in the pain that I was suffering, and I just cried out to God for mercy. Thank the Lord, that morning the Lord saved me. How do I know? The Word of God tells me, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How do I know? I was there when it happened. How do I know? You ask my wife, she got a new husband. My wife will tell you. She was called down to the hospital. She came in to see me. She was so broken, she was devastated the way things had happened, how I'd become ill so quickly. And I simply said to her, I was, I had all these tubes and wires coming from me, down my nose, throat, and all of my body. And the little strength that I had, I said, "Linda," I said, "you know, God, the Lord has saved me, and I'm a Christian." And I don't know what she thought. Maybe she thought, "What drugs are they giving him, making him think like that?" Because there was no mention of the Lord in our home. There was no time for the things of God. But the Word of God says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." You know, whenever the Lord saved me, there were certain things that they didn't have to be pointed out in my life, I knew. When I was discharged from hospital, the first place that I went in our home was to the refrigerator. I took out all the filthy bottles of alcohol and spirits. Even looking at them near made me sick, and I took them and I emptied them all down the sink. Now the amazing thing is, that was my life. That was what I lived for. The drugs, the drink, that was my life. Those were the things that were life to me, as it were. But now those things that I once loved, I now hated, and hated them with a passion. And the things I once hated and I loved, I wanted to be with God's people. I didn't want to be around my old friends. Didn't want them anymore. Said goodbye to them. Some of them thought, "Well, he's got a band record collection. It was so wicked, that collection of records that would be worth thousands today, that had been imported from all over Europe. In fact, on one occasion in a street in London, I took off the pair of boots that I had and I exchanged them for a record, just to have that record. My friends, some of them came round, one young man in particular, he bought a couple of these records, he walked out and he closed the door, and when he closed the door it was as if that bang was like a hammer in my heart. Who are you to peddle the devil's filth? If you can't listen to it, how come he can? I felt so convicted. You know, I feel the Lord. And I was so sorry. I repented. I asked the Lord to forgive me. Then I said, Linda, I says, sell them records, get them all out. We got them all out. It was, the room was just filled with them. The floor was covered in them. And I got a hammer, a nice heavy one. And I smashed the whole record collection. Best sound they ever made, mind you. Smashed a lot of them. Broke them all up. I've kept one thing from my old life. It's our photo album. Man, it's good for the pride. You have a look in there some days and you wonder, was that really me? Oh yes. Am I really any better than the young people I work with? No. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. To God be the glory. This is my story. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. The Lord, 3 months later, saved my wife. What a tremendous night that was. Then the Lord saved my mother-in-law. My father-in-law came to the Lord's house with us. He was saved in our church in Lisburn. My wife kept on asking and pleading with her dad, Dad, please come to church. Please come to hear the word of God. He wouldn't come. You know why he wouldn't come? Because he was afraid of what he would hear. I sat and I watched him that night with tears flowing down his face. He was wonderfully converted to Christ. A man who would have batten two flies going up a wall. Wonderfully converted. The Lord 6 years ago blessed us with another little girl. I was actually preaching. I missed the birth. I was preaching in Macrofelt that night. I rang my wife. We were so delighted, and there was only one name we could give to our little girl. Grace. Because we recognize and we realize that all that we are is because of God's grace. That our house is now our home because of the grace of God. That there's no more swearing, there's no more drinking, there's no more all-night parties. There's no more time for the things of the world. That is the difference since Jesus came into our home. I want to tell you tonight that God's salvation, it's real. It's real. Someone said to me, it's all that religion's gone to your head. I said, no, sir. It may well be in my head, but I want to say this, it's in my heart. For the Lord says, a new heart also will I give you. The young people that I work with, they often think, well, you know, I'll quit the drugs, I'll become a better person, I'll change over, I'll make a new leaf, I'll become someone better. What they need is a new heart, and only Christ can give that. Only Christ. You see, Jesus Christ brings wonderful freedom from the penalty of sin. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Christ brings wonderful freedom from the penalty of sin. In this service tonight, there are only two categories of people, two classes, those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who have hope, those who have no hope. Those who are free in Christ from the penalty of sin, and those who are still under sin's bondage and sin's dominion. You know, it'd be very easy for someone to say tonight, there is a young man who went down to the depths of sin and drug addiction, whatever, and he needed the Lord, but not me. I've never done those things. My friend, we all stand in need of God's salvation. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Christ brings wonderful freedom from the penalty of sin. He also brings wonderful freedom from the power of sin. Some young people will say to me, you know, I haven't got the power or the ability to live the Christian life, and that's right. You haven't got the power to live the Christian life of yourself. How many people have found that out? They've tried to live the Christian life only to fail. And you know the reason? Because they haven't got the reality of the living Christ within their heart. Because if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And there is a wonderful freedom in the power of sin. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Christ brings wonderful freedom from the pain of sin. You've heard something of that pain tonight. That's why we urge men and women to come to seek the Lord for God's salvation, to avoid the misery of sin. It's often been said that a soul saved is a life spared, and there's a lot of truth in that. Spare the misery and the pain and the emptiness of sin. And that's why we place an emphasis on our children. I'm working with our children and our Sabbath school, and we love our children and we want to see them saved. Because we want to see them avoid the misery and the pain of sin. You see, Christ brings wonderful freedom from that pain and from that misery. Oh, the young people that we seek to reach, they inflict such injury upon themselves, cutting themselves with needles, and it's heartbreaking. But Christ is able to bring freedom to them. You know, I'm glad also that the Lord Jesus Christ brings freedom from the presence of sin. You turn to the book of the Revelation and to the chapter 21. We read in the verse 4 of this freedom. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In heaven, no more death. There's no more sickness, there's no more sorrow, there's no more separation. And it's all because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's all because of the life he lived and the atonement that he made. Because Christ, praise God, brings wonderful freedom from the presence of sin for those who will go to be with him, which is far better. Tell me, how is it with your soul tonight? Where do you stand before the Lord? Do you know this freedom? Have you been to the cross? So many times I wanted to change my life, to change the direction in which I was going, to become a better person, but all my best efforts were just empty promises. Because I had not the power or the ability of myself to change my own heart, to change my life. Therefore, I stand before you tonight and testify that all that I am is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. I am only a sinner, saved by grace. If I could sum up in one word what Jesus Christ means to me, who he is, everything. He's everything. He's everything. He is all. Because he found me, he sought me out, poor, lost, guilty, condemned sinner. Save me. Wash me in his own precious blood. And to the one who is everything and all, I give the praise and all of the glory. Amen.
Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he told what the Lord had done for him. Not always a pretty picture, but a truthful and honest picture. Tonight our brother has opened his heart to tell you what the Lord has done for him. It could be you've come to this meeting and you say, I'm in rebellion. I am that sinner. What your need is tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. Doesn't matter what our sin is, all of our sin leads to death. A brother testified tonight that were it not for the grace of God, he would be dead tonight, and he would be in hell. And truly we can say that of every one of us tonight. Were it not for his grace, we would be dead tonight and in hell. And yet the Lord has had mercy on us. And I could bring to this platform tonight many who could testify of the day and the hour when the Lord saved their soul and they called upon him. Is your soul saved tonight? Do you know him? Come to Christ. Lay hold of Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. We are your servants for Jesus' sake. We love nothing more tonight than to spend time with you, opening the Bible and helping you as you find your way to Christ. But it's Christ that you need. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it is the Lord who saves. He is the only one who can change the heart. He is the only one who can wash clean the slate of our sins. Go to him tonight. Where you sit, call upon him. Ask him to be your Savior. Gracious Father, we come to Thee this night thanking Thee that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who call upon Thee are heard and answered from heaven. We're thankful that even our calling is but the gift and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that You bring us to the end of ourselves, that we might look to Thee. We're thankful, Lord, that You even empower our hearts, that we might call upon Thee. Lord, we're thankful that in calling upon Thee, You do not disappoint Your people. Well, we confess there are things that we do that disappoint Thee, yea, that disappoint ourselves. But Lord, You've never been a disappointment to Your people. You are indeed the Savior of sinners, and our eyes are upon Thee this night. Well, we would ask that those who call might find, that they might indeed seek Thee tonight and might know what it is to put their hope and trust in Thee. Give young people tonight the ability to call. Compel them to come to Thee. Keep them from a wasted life and a life of misery and wickedness. Lord, save them for Thy glory. Make them trophies of grace that will bring glory and praise and honor to Thy great name. Lord, we pray for all who are gathered here tonight, that not one would leave without Christ, that all would seek Christ and find Him. Lord, we pray You'd do this for Thy glory, and that You'd do it for the eternal welfare of all who are here. Lord, we would pray this week, give us grace to find someone that we can tell what You have done for us. Someone where we can go and speak to them and tell them the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. But we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen.